Don't take candy from strangers, or you'll end up as the victim of someone like this person. He decided to poison candy and gave it to his son. His son died of poisoning, and he sent to death for his scary crime. Today, I'll discuss the Candyman, Ronald O'Brien. This is Cases of the Crimes. Hey everyone, I'm glad that you enjoyed that one, because today is the Halloween episode of Cases of Crimes. I know I'm recording this few days before Halloween, but this is going to be a good time for this scary story, because this is on real people. We're covering with real people, folks. Okay. Real people, folks. Yeah. Today we're discussing about the Candyman, or they consider himself the man who killed on Halloween. He killed his own son with the candy that he gave it to him. I'm gonna tell you about it more because we're gonna into this and we'll kick up this Halloween thing ongoing, right? Right. Okay. Yeah, we'll talk about the background. We're talking about just a little bit of background and how he killed his own son, and then the trial and the conviction and the execution. All this in one pack little episode for you. All right. Are you ready now to cover this thing? Okay. Here it is. The Candyman. Ronald Clark O'Brien lived his wife. Well, he was born on October 19, 1944 in Houston, Texas. And he lived with his wife, Diane, in Deer Park, Texas, with their son, Timothy, and their daughter, Elizabeth. But you gotta keep an eye on their son, Timothy, for this, okay? Because this is where he was his son. He worked as an optician at Texas State Optical in Trabzon, Houston, and he was the deacon of the Second Baptist Church, sang choir, and ran a local school bus program. Okay, very short, he was an optician just to have people to see the eyes and becoming a deacon. Oh, around in church and talk to God about things. Okay, now this is where we get into it. This is where we took some of the juicy stuff. This is very big. Right around the Halloween in 1974, okay, he took his children to Tricantine in Pasadena, Texas, in this whole neighborhood. So they're neighbors, and two children have already come to them, and visited a home where the occupant failed to answer the door, not even responding. So they grew impatient and ran ahead to go over to the next home, while he had to stay behind there. And he caught up somewhere with the group and produced five of the pixie sticks. Now all the sticks they have been filled with a powder candy. It's all the powder candy. It is almost a straw, but all of them were powdered up with candy. Just crushed candy, just powder it up and make it look like a straw as a pixie sticks, which he claimed he was given from someone's house that have not answered the door. So I guess that's supposed to be their candy, right? I think so. Somewhere along in that little evening, he gave of his neighbor with the gave his neighbor Suchin with a pixie sticks, one each to hear Timothy and the other ones to Elizabeth. And then upon somewhere in the home, all right, he gave the fifth one, I don't know where the four are, give it to somebody else. That's on each assuming the one is seven, that's their name. But the other one, he gave this fifth pixie stick to his son, Okay. Well, to a 10-year-old boy from he recognized in the church with her. And before he went to bed, he asked each son that the candy that he had collected. But according to him, to Ronald, chose the pixie sticks. So he gave the pixie sticks to him, right? But he had a little, the Timothy had a little trouble getting candy out of the straw. So he had them send that little powder, and after he tasted candy, Timmy tastes a little bit of, that tastes odd. And then gave his son a Kool-Aid to wash away this. Oh, not Kool-Aid. Oh, not this thing. Oh, boy. And then he began to complain that the stomach hurt and ran to the room. Now he began, oh, no. Oh, Timothy, no. And then he claimed that Timothy, while he was vomiting, while China went in arms, and then went on the rush to the hospital. Yeah, he died. Just less than an hour after he consumed the candy. Oh no, what is going on? Oh, wow. Milt somehow died and just rushed into the hospital because he tasted this little pig sticks. That's odd. Wondering how his son died. He was just 8 years old, drinking that pixie sticks. That pixie sticks is kind of odd. I mean, it's supposed to be sweet and it's powdery and all, but why is that one poisonous? Let's see. So his dad from the candy raised so many fears in the community, and that's what everybody else is saying. Don't take candy from a stranger or you'll die because they might put in some poison and stuff. But this one is not the case at all. Okay. All right. So a lot of parents in Deer Park and some surrounding area turn in some of the candy they have. So yeah, everybody family, because the 10-year-old died because of this one little bit too sick. Now everybody's checking their candy to make sure they don't have any poison or something like that. This is what everybody's children doing. All right. This is what everybody's children doing. They always have to check their candy, see there's nothing, any poison or something, because they'll die or something. And they feared that it was laced with poison. That's exactly what it was laced with. The police did not suspect him from any of those wrongs until the autopsy and the pixie sticks that they had. He had consumed with a fatal dose of this one, potassium cyanide. That which is KCN. And in four of the five of the pieces that he claimed, they were received by some of the authorities from the other children. And none of those four, they have consumed, none of four consumed the pieces, because I'm not sure what they had. That's good. Because all those five candies here, they were filled with the potassium, contained with the cyanide. Four of them. For those people say they have not consumed it. Thank God for them. But that fifth one, that really caught to Timothy. That really caught to that boy. Oof, wow, that's really crazy, that is. And the parents of that village became very hysterical, and they cannot locate the candy, and now they're notified of this. So they rush upstairs to find son asleep, holding that little candy. And they have been unable to open the staples. Oh, they staple the is, yeah, they just laced it with the cyanide and then they stapled it. So that's no wonder why he can't open. Oh, trouble to getting that candy on the show. Oh, no wonder why Timothy opened it. No wonder why he doesn't open the candy and help them out or something. Oh, no wonder. No freaking wonder. Okay. And all the five were open with a little refill with the cyanide powder and resealed it with the staple. Okay. All right. And according to a pathologist, okay, and it would consume contain just enough cyanide to kill two of the. Whoa. Okay. A dead four can contain enough to kill three or four. Wow. Okay. So that cyanide that he. And someone put there, it can kill two adults. It can kill two people. And then the rest of the can, it can kill three or four. So he picked the one that with the less, with small amount of cyanide that will kill. So he picked the least, but still cyanide. It's fatal. You could literally kill. You could be killed with that. Cyanide. It's not liquid, it's very powdery, so we weren't able to see it. So yeah, he told police they remember I couldn't remember the house from. Well, going back to the little story, because he say where that's the hit they have not opened, and they left all the pixie sticks, so he picked it up. Suspicious. That seems a little suspicious. So the police very suspicious with him. And his neighbor, they're taking the homes on a couple of the streets because it's raining. Yep, it's now being increased because none of the homes they visited have given out the sticks. None of them are. Okay. After walking around, he had led them to this home where nobody had answered the door. Okay. So, yeah, he claimed that he went back there for cash in the group and said the owner of the home did not turn the lights on, did not crack the door open, and they handed him five pieces. That's what O'Brien told him about this one. He claimed to only seen the arm, the man's arm, and described it as a hairy arm. So it's a guy. So that house was owned by Courtney Melvin. Okay. Courtney Melvin, he was in an aircraft traffic alert at the William P. Hobby Airport and did not get home until 11 on a Halloween night. So yeah, they ruled him out as a suspect. Over 200 people confirmed that been at work. So he was at work, but he didn't come home until 11 p.m. That was on a holiday night. He had to work on that day. Well, on that night. So yeah, that's why no one answered the door, because he went to work. That kind of ruled him out as a suspect. Okay, investigation process. And they have finally learned that Ronald Blind was over $100,000 in debt and had unable to hold a job or something. Oh, that sucks for him. In the 10 years, he had held 21 jobs. 21? That's a lot. And at the time of his arrest, he suspected of a theft at his job at the optical and was close. Oh, he was so close being kicked out, being fired. And the car was repossessed it, had defaulted on some bank loans, and the family home had been foreclosed. And they discovered that he had taken out life insurance policies on some children proceeding with his debt. So, wow. That's something. Okay, and instead of where he had taken out $10,000, so which is last year was $59,000, in some insurance policies to both of the children. After he died, he took out $20,000 now. Additional $20,000 policy on the each, on both of the children. And despite some of the objections of the life insurance agency, because he to kill it, I think he wanted to kill his son to have more money in his account. No wonder why he's in debt. Oh yeah, just to eliminate his son, just killing the candy. Are you serious? I'm gonna read it this out. If this is correct, I know you're doing that one. Okay, so his wife maintained she did not know about this insurance policies on her children's lives, okay? And then learned about the morning after his death. He had called the insurance company and inquired about collecting the policy taken out on the son. And then learning that he had visited a chemical supply store in Houston and buy a cyanide shortly before Halloween in 1974 Halloween. Okay. No, he went into the supply store and buy some of the cyanide. I don't know what he's gonna use. I don't know why went to the chemical store and buy cyanide for? What was the use? What's the good use of cyanide? I know it's a bad use. If you're saying cyanide, it's like the bad news. Like using the cyanide just to kill people, or pour that down in the drink or something like that. You know, it's not that. I don't know what's good use for. Let's see. Okay. Yeah, he left without purchasing. After okay, and they began to suspect that he placed candies to kill his children to collect the life insurance policies. Okay, yep. They finally suspect him in it, and then they believe he gave this other children to all the poison candy in an effort to cover up the crime. Oh my god. Yep, and they have questioned him, but he maintained his innocence. How did he get away with everything? He wanted to kill his own son with the pixie sticks that was laced in cyanide. And just to get his money, just to get this insurance policy that he had. That is too... How? That is so stupid. How did it come all down to this? Just to poison his son and die and get the money? What in the world? What's... Oh, my gosh. What in the world? Oh, my God. That's bad. This is bad. I don't have any sympathy. Let's see what's going on with this trial computer. Okay. So they have never discovered when and where bought that poison from, because we already know that's from the supply, or it could be supply. It could be like a supply for the chemical supply store, or it could be something else. Yeah. He was arrested for his murderer, Timothy's murder, number 5th. And he injected 1 count of capital murder and 4 counts of attempted murder. So he entered plea not guilty to all in the 5 counts. And then the trial began on May 5th, 1975. And then during that trial, there's a chemist who testified in that summer in 1973. And he contended about the cyanide and how much is it fatal. So a chemical supply salesman but he asked him how to purchase a cyanide. Oh, you to buy this cyanide. So the forensic coroner testified that in months before his death, okay. So he showed an, in quote, unusual interest in cyanide, spoke how much it would take to kill a person. How? How would he do that? Because he's really interested on this little cyanide thing. How is it lethal? How this cyanide that can literally kill people? Okay, so his sister-in-law and brother-in-law testified that on the day of the funeral, he spoke of the money. Okay, using the money from his insurance policy to take a loan, buy more items. I don't know what buy items that he wanted to. And then his wife rejected the claim that he chose the pixie sticks, saying that he forced him to choose the sticks. I don't know why he chose him the sticks that can lethal. Because Timothy asked, I need the candy that I have taken from last day, but he chose pixie sticks. Why? I don't know why he chose that one. Okay. Still, he still continued the minute since he had no shot. And drew upon some urban legend concerning this little mad poisoner, okay, who hands out the Halloween candy laced with some poison needles or candy apples with some razor blades inserted, or probably ice cream with a razor blade inside or Oreos. You know, I get the idea. And those stories were okay, but there are no documented instances of some strangers poisoning candy, okay, because they're saying don't take candies from the strangers because you don't know this person. But he take candy from the person that who knows who's in the family. I don't know why Timothy took candy from the stranger, but that's not a stranger. That's his father. His father did that. His father. Okay? His father. So yeah. In the case, and they call him the Candyman, and that's the reason for it. So on June 3rd, 1975, a jury took 46 minutes to find him guilty on all five counts. Capital murder in the four counts. And it took almost over an hour to sentence him to death. After he was convicted in jail, yep, his wife filed for a divorce. And now she's remarried with, and her new husband now adopted her daughter, Elizabeth. So, yeah, that sucks. But they took a little time and they married it. Yeah. Imagine this. If you really want to have more money on your insurance, on your children's policy, you just have to kill one of them on the Halloween and buy a cyanide from the store, like the chemical store. And then when it comes to Halloween, he made it the right time to pour down this little powdered cyanide onto one of the pixie sticks and gave everybody. There are five of them, right? There are five of them. The first four, they gave it to those families, but they have not done that. But they have not eaten it. But that fifth one goes to his son. His son, an 8-year-old son, took that candy, doused it. There's this little candy pixie with the staple on it. That's why he ripped it out, poured down a little bit of a cyanide, cover it with a staple. If you see a candy with the staples on it, that is for sure. There is a lace candy. That candy was laced with poison. And if you see the staples, that's a dead giveaway. It is literally a dead giveaway. This is a poison candy. Don't eat it. But his son had no idea. He has no idea that candy was poison. And yeah, and he wanted to kill his son just for that insurance policy, just for the money that he wanted far more items for the vacation stuff. How dumb he is. What a dumb thing that he's going to do. That is the dumbest thing that you can take the insurance policy out of somebody. That is dumb. Straight out dumb. Completely a bad father. A bad, bad father. Okay. Alright. Alright. Time for the execution. I need to calm down with this one. Okay. So, somewhere at the time, man tends to death under the Texas law worker fined in Ellis 1 unit near Huntsville, Texas. Alright. According to the Reverend Carol Pickett, a former chaplain of the Texas Department. Okay. O'Brien was shunned and despised his fellow death inmates for killing his child and was absolutely friendless. Thank you, row inmates, for that. Absolutely friendless. Thank you, row inmates, for saying this. And they petitioned to hold a demonstration on exit to express the hatred. They hated him for what he did to his son. That's not cool. Yep, that's not cool. I agree with the roommates. Okay, and the first execution was date on August 8th. But they have successfully petitioned for one stay for execution. So it was now scheduled on May 25th, 1982. That is also postponed, and they have a third date now, October 31st, which is Halloween. That's the 8th anniversary of that crime he did. And he offered personally to him, O'Brien, to a death chamber. And that was the first time that in Texas they executed the inmate by lethal injection. Yep. But they have delayed that date yet again to pursue with a new trial and stuff. So they made a fourth date, which is March 31st. And then his lawyer sought a fourth date with a deleted injection. That's definitely a cruel and unusual punishment. That's to his lawyers. So March 28, he rejected that request. So on March 31st, that's the date, shortly right close to the midnight, he was executed by a lethal injection in Huntsville. And his last meal, we were talking about this last meal. So his last meals were T-bone steak, which is medium's well done, French fries and ketchup, whole kernel corn, sweet peas, lettuce and tomato salad with egg and French dressing, iced tea, sweetener, saltiness, Boston cream pie, and rolls. Yep, that's his last meal before he has executed. All right, and his last words were, well, what is about to transpire in a few moments is wrong. However, we as human beings do make mistakes and errors. This execution is one of those wrongs, yet doesn't mean our whole system of justice is wrong. Therefore, I would forgive all who have taken part in any way in my death. Also, to anyone I have offended in any way during my 39 years, I pray and ask your forgiveness, just as I forgive anyone who offended me in any way. And I pray and ask God's forgiveness for all of us respectfully as human beings. To my loved ones, I extended my undying love. To those close to me, know in your hearts, I love you one and all. God bless you and all, and may God's best blessings be always yours. Ronald C. O'Brien. P.S. During my time here, I have been treated well by all TDC personnel, which is the criminal justice there. Okay. All right. And then during the execution, a whole crowd with 300 demonstrators, so everybody's gathered outside the prison, and they cheered while some of them yelled, trick or treat! And they also showed this anti-death penalty demonstrators with the candy they have in their hands. Oh, what a coincidence there. And then, yeah, he was buried in the Forest Park East Cemetery in Webster, Texas. Well, Timmy is buried in a Forest Park Lawndale Cemetery in Houston. So, yeah, both those who were buried in a different cemetery. And that's about it. That's pretty much it with everything. That is pretty much it. That's the Candyman. That's the story that he'll have to live on for ages or something, somewhere in a long time there. Yeah. That took a lot to get in here to where he had this little right time to have this crime that is literally on the dot. And yeah. Yep, everybody's going crazy with the taking. Yep, I'm very serious right now. You do never, ever, ever take the kids from the stranger. Or even the ones that you know. The ones that you already know. The loved ones. You already know this one. Okay? So yeah, that's a big lesson for everybody. To all the kids out there who are doing trick-or-treating, never take candy from someone else's stranger. Not even the ones that you know and love. Okay? Not even the ones, even your family, not even the family members that you have taken from, because chances are they might fill it with the poison. They might fill it with anything that could instantly kill you, and they will do some stuff. They'll do that crime just to get them in the way. Probably get arrested, going to jail. Yeah. Never take candy. And for parents out there, make sure, please, those candies right there, look for any candy that can be odd, that can be out of the way, that can be very, very suspicious. Look for any candy that's like very odd to you, the shape, the color, anything that is either stapled, that's a dead giveaway. Because the stapled candy that was, or filled it and they staple it, it's a dead giveaway. That staple thing is definitely a dead giveaway that it was, candy was laced with poison. So check the candy out, okay? This is the PSA for everybody who is doing the trick-or-treating now. I'd be very careful if I were you during this Halloween, because this could get very scarier Because that story right here is way scarier than. Yeah, so be safe on Halloween, okay? Never take candy from the strangers, even if the ones that they know and love who try to kill you. So that's it. That's all the PSA I've learned from you and everything. So yeah, I very much love this one. All right, thank you guys so much for listening to this Halloween episode of Cases of Crimes, and I hope you enjoy and have a wonderful Halloween, and be safe, okay? Be safe. All right. Goodbye, guys, and take care.